Welcome to Manager Tools. How to Action Engagement Survey Results, Chapter 3, The Questions, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, how should I respond to my engagement survey results? What should I do with my scores on an engagement survey? And how can I improve my engagement survey results? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. If you're a leader in a large organization and you've got a lot of people you really wish understood the management trinity so they could ensure your organization increases its results as well as retaining its employees, bring us in and have us train your learning and development staff so that they can train your actual staff on the concepts of one-on-ones, feedback, and delegation. If you're interested, send an email to Maggie at manager-tools.com for more information. Folks, we recently released previous chapters in this guidance on how to action engagement survey results. We started by talking about chapter 1, dimensions. Then we did chapter 2, response and conflicts. And now we begin chapter 3, how to respond to the questions. In that previous guidance, we described our history and our concerns with engagement as a concept. We also gave you an overview of how to help your team get ready for the survey they're going to be asked to complete. Today, we're going to go through how to take action on the results you get from your direct responses. And the way we've done this is by taking an actual survey, one available in 2023. And addressed the over 140 questions it asks, giving you specific guidance on what to do and how and why. And as a special treat, you'll hear this guidance recorded by our founders, Mark and Mike. Here we go.
Okay, Mark, I'm going to assume for a second that people have been listening to our previous cast. They've done an engagement survey, and now they got the results back. What do they do? What's our guidance for how to approach that?
I think I've written more about engagement as a single topic than any year I've ever written about any other single topic. This is going to be a very long series of casts over many, many weeks because we're explicating an over 100 question engagement survey, many of which the questions are stupid, but whatever. In our previous stuff, we had talked about the history, our concerns with engagement as a concept. We gave you an overview of how to help your team get ready. We talked about executive leading your organization through the engagement survey. In this one, we're going to tell you how to take action on the results you get from your direct responses. We're going to take an actual survey, one available in 2023, and there are over 140 questions. I thought it was over 100. And give you specific guidance on what to do and how and why. And for you Manager Tools fans who pay attention to insider stuff, I'll give you a rough idea of the scope of this particular podcast, series of podcasts. Mike and I are recording this on a Friday. It'll be published in a little over a week, I think. And a typical show note, if we're going to do a one-part show, 20, 25, 30 minutes, would be about 1,200 words. This one is 9,000 words and not even done. I haven't even finished it. In fact, I've committed to finishing the show notes this weekend, so it will be ready for the next publication date because we will not get through anywhere near half of this guidance in this next recording session. And Mike and I only have an hour to record, so we'll record what we can record, and then we'll take another bite at it maybe over the weekend and then probably sometime later next week as well.
Yeah. Welcome to retirement. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into it. The first part is questions and strategy.
Yeah.
And I love what you've done here, dude, because I'll share a quick example with you. I had a friend of mine one time at an old company I was in an IT position. And they had done this big survey looking at a number of areas, one of them being data management. And I'm not going to go into what data management all is about, but he was just, he, 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 he got knocked down in this particular area. And he was going
on a survey.
His
data management scores were low.
Right? Yeah. And long story short, it's like he just, I don't know what got into him, but he just took it as, okay, I'm bad, and just went off trying to figure out what he needed to do across the whole spectrum of data management. And, but again, a longer story short, it turned out that there's one person in his organization of about 200 people who wasn't doing a single thing right, right? And had some broad-reaching implications. But the fact is that he went at the problem on this broad spectrum of things he had to do, and it really came down to one thing, right?
Yeah.
And he failed miserably, by the way.
Yeah.
And so I know that's kind of a recurring theme here, I think, as we're going to get into it.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to start with questions and strategy. I think that'll be the first in the series. We have a total, the outline has 14 bullets. The first one is questions and strategy. And then we take a particular engagement consulting firm's questionnaire, which is broken down into a series of categories, and we address each of the categories and each of the questions in the categories. And their questions were the main drivers, organization, strategy, and culture, communication, my work, management, leadership, opportunities, reward, recognition, training and development, quality of life, teamwork, and then also free and textual responses. And again, I don't know, there's 14 of those, 13 categories. So roughly 10 questions per category gets you to roughly 140 or so questions. And the mistake your buddy made was that he heard a general thing about data management, but he didn't look at the particular questions to find out where things were burning down and focus on that. And that is a huge problem, as you are about to learn. So, questions and strategy. Folks, the cardinal rule of response strategy for a manager or an executive is to avoid trying to address category scores like quality of life and teamwork that we've mentioned, and focus on the questions within those categories that caused your score to be lower. The reason that's important is because above you, look, the organization, your chain of command, they can't focus on individual questions. It's too much detail, too granular. So they will focus, what they will do is focus on low scores in categories. Oh my gosh, the company has a problem with teamwork. Everybody needs to go to teamwork training. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I've never heard of a case where HR picks at each of the questions and says, actually, we don't need teamwork training. We need onboarding because new people don't feel like a part of the team, and all the new people, which we can look at anonymously, but aggregated, they don't feel welcome, right? But teamwork training and onboarding is two completely different things, right? Now, look, this is normal because, again, the individual questions on a 100-question test, which is way too many, by the way, we chose this one with a lot of questions so that we would give you lots of question guidance so you could tweak it for, because I'd be willing to bet, even if you only have a 30-question questionnaire that your company is doing for an engagement survey, I bet you out of 140, 30 of those questions are mimicked or nearly mimicked here. But again, they may be in different categories, but you should not care about categories. But what companies do is they look at categories and make broad general statements and expect everybody to do it. And they make those general pronouncements and they talk about fixing things that actually you have to dig into the individual questions to see, to separate the symptom from the actual cause. Now, look, it's fairly normal for senior leaders in your chain of command, upon hearing of weakness in a category, to hire some outside firm who specializes in the example categories we mentioned, like quality of life or teamwork. Now, folks, for you as a manager and even as an executive, this is a problem. The reason is it's rare for that training to be specifically tied to individual questions. Why HR doesn't do this, I don't know. But it's the individual questions that identify the individual problem areas within that category. And the questions get into enough detail that allows you to create solutions to address them, okay? As well as for the examples, virtually every other category listed from our example survey, every training firm has their own definitions of what teamwork or quality of life, for example, are. they're unlikely to teach you specific behaviors. You know that if you've been to a bunch of management training other than ours, because almost no trainers but us teach actionable behaviors, which again can address the areas being targeted. And they certainly have no data on how their teamwork training, based on their rubric around teamwork, has improved the teamwork category engagement scores of other firms who have used the same engagement consultancy. In our experience, even the engagement consultancy, the training that if the engagement consultancy that did the survey for you, collated the responses, provided the data to your senior people, if they have a training arm, in our experience, their training arm, the people who actually developed the survey, will not specifically target individual questions. Look, there's no question they'll talk about the importance of teamwork. Everybody does to fill up training agenda space. But that's worthless to you. Even if teamwork wasn't important to your firm at all up until now, and I can assure you in 99% of the companies in the world, it isn't. Low scores in that category, justifying a training engagement, make it important de facto, you know, just by the nature of, hey, you're going to have to go to training. And what will happen inevitably is the training won't make much difference, but they will have spent the money on the training, and you'll be the one being blamed if your teamwork score stays low. The company won't necessarily show you that other managers' teamwork scores didn't improve after their company-sponsored teamwork training. And your boss, if you don't have a good relationship with her, may very well hold your feet to the fire, and she probably didn't have to go to the training anyway. In both cases, regardless of how you look at this, external training that doesn't spend hours in preparation reviewing the attendees' engagement category scores and then question scores has no way of directly impacting them. Imagine how frustrated you'd get to go to training on an area of concern, whatever it might be, quality of life, teamwork, whatever. And let's be clear, folks, you must go. Or at least if you're a frontline manager or a senior manager or a director, you'd have to go. Only to discover that they don't give specific guidance on the one or two question areas your review of your data suggests you have to target. But this happens all the time. All the time. It's like, it's sort of a known joke in the engagement industry.
Yeah. And maybe they focus on areas that you did well in, suggest things that you do, and you actually make your scores worse.
Yeah. And of course, your boss, who doesn't know you that well, is like, well, you do these, you should do these things. Well, I already am. Well, I don't know. Then why is you got some other problem? Right?
Is that how your bosses sound?
Yeah. And look, there's no sense reading a book, a la Mike's friend, who's like, I got to go figure out the depth and breadth of data management. There's no sense even going to your own training on your own, okay, about a weak category that you've got. The only effective way to address your team's area of concerns is focusing on the questions that potentially cause your score to be low. And if there are 10 questions, it only takes a couple of questions that you didn't do well in. And what you don't want to do, this happens all the time. It's one of the reasons why when we do a hot wash, we have two sides of that flip chart that you're writing on. The left side is the what went well side, and the other side is the take a look side. You have to capture the what went well stuff so you don't mess it up while trying to fix the take a look at stuff. So if you don't know what you were good at, or if it doesn't address specific questions, you don't drill down to questions, you may start tweaking with things that got you a good score in the other areas, may or may not impact the weak areas, but your score may not go up. You're just playing freaking whack-a-mole. Now look, we said, potentially. As we said, leadership can really only address categories and not questions. There's too much. They're not wrong to do what they're doing. Okay. They also will only recommend actions in areas where there is a general low score across the entire organization. Your boss may supplement that, certainly. It's possible, even likely with the number of categories to address, I think we have 13 in this one we're looking at, that your team and maybe even your boss's whole department did just fine on the category that is going to be targeted or trained.
Yeah, then you just get to go home and don't worry about it, right?
Yeah, no.
Just ignore it.
Not so much. No? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, good idea. I would give that advice to my enemies. Look, folks, you're going to have to pay lip service to these taskings that come down from on high. Say, everybody's got to go to quality of life training. And I say, well, I got a really good quality of life score. And I promise you what your boss or somebody else will say, Well, they won't let you train it, but maybe you should tell other people what you're doing for good quality of life scores. And I have two pieces of advice on that. Don't, because you'll look like a tool. But secondly, only do it if the instructor, the trainer, or HR says, hey, did anybody get relatively good scores in quality of life? And you should raise your hand meekly, okay, slowly and small. So really, what was your score? No,
me.
1 to 5, I got, yeah, exactly, good. More fodder for my enemies. Exactly. And I would, you know, if they ask me, I'd say, well, I got a 4.8 out of 5. Well, that's really good. What are you doing? I said, well, you know, it's actually pretty complicated. I do one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation, talk to my people all the time, do weekly staff meetings, do town halls. I do skip level meetings. These are all things that I think really help with that.
And for extra points, you say, and go to www.manager-tools.com.
Yeah. And look, the HR person is going to be flabbergasted, right? But part of the reason we've put out all of our guidance over the years, guys, not just telling you what to do, but why to do it and how to do it, is so you have a solid, substantial, foundational logic behind what you're doing. So when somebody says, what are you doing and why? You can say, this is what I'm doing. This is how I do it. And this is why I do it. If you're like us and you're a little bold and you've accepted a training and you're prepared to address something that's come down, you have to go to some training. If you get asked for what you're going to do in a category that your team scored well in, send your boss a note showing her your category score and the scores on all the questions and suggest that you're going to focus somewhere differently. You could try that, but don't push back any harder than that. If your boss says, no, all hands, you say, okay, I'll go.
Hey there. Manager Tools comes to Los Angeles, but once a year. And that but once a year this year happens to be September 12th and 13th. We'll be at the Sheraton Gateway Los Angeles Hotel, and we'd love to have you join us. Find us online at manager-tools.com/training and sign up today.
Okay. There are a couple other factors to consider when you're planning a response. By the way, guys, we're just talking about your strategy to address your low points in terms of questions. Okay. First, do not skip over those areas where your scores are good. This is a classic mistaken response to any organization-wide survey. We mentioned that earlier. The focus is always on the weak points, but Drucker teaches us you don't achieve success by fixing your weaknesses. You achieve it by leveraging your strengths. When you cover your results with your team, and you must, cover every category. And in a survey of 140 plus questions, it's going to take you some time. It could take you six weeks. Don't show everybody everything and then say, okay, we're going to only talk about these two, because they're going to feel deflated. They're going to feel like, wow, we did good in 10, but you're going to focus on the three. And I mean, really?
When you say cover, you're really talking about covering it with your team, talking about it with your team. Right? Yep. Not just reading it, but
every single category, every single question. Yes. Look, do your best to provide contrast between your team scores and the organizational averages. Look, here's the thing to do when you get some PDF PowerPoint with a whole bunch of slides in it about organizational scores that caused everybody to have to go to some teamwork training, require you to come up with a plan for teamwork and quality of life improvement strategies for your team. Screenshot the information from the org on the page that's relevant. And by the way, for every category, not just the bad ones, and just paste it into your slides. I'm not saying you have to use slides, but it's an easy thing to do. If they send you slides, you can paste it in your slides and say, look, here's our data that I got for this team, and here's the organization's scores. A number of years ago, I saw a guy print his slides in notes mode. And no, it's actually slide mode, but it's two slides per page. And he arranged it so that the company's data was on the top and then his team's data were underneath it. They make them a little small, the notes view, but it's the two slides per page view, but it's easy enough. Don't create your slides and then add to your work by having to recreate what the organization has shared with you. Heck, create your slides, handwrite on them, the organization scores and write it right next to yours and circle both of them, right? And then take a picture of your slides and make the slideshow a bunch of PDFs in PowerPoint. If a category has been identified as needing attention organization-wide, make sure that's known to your team. Maybe you write that one in red Sharpie rather than black Sharpie. But also, don't be afraid to brief them that your team's responses locally are not a problem and that you won't be spending much time in addressing areas you have succeeded in. You need to cover them, but you want to make sure that we don't mess with those things that made those things good. And if the organization did poorly and you're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, and you think you can convince your boss that you're not going to spend a whole lot of time in it and they're not going to make you go to training, okay, make your case for that and tell your team, we're not going to spend any time here because we're doing this, 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 and this already. And those managers over there, they should be doing this, 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 and this. Okay. And substitute the manager drills trinity for this, 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 and this. Okay. When you cover relative areas of strength for your team, use them to reinforce what you're doing that you believe help the scores. You need to do this to support your continuance, the things you're doing that you believed help those questions, those categories. Otherwise, you're going to start feeling calendar pressure to stop doing the things as a manager that work. And that's the problem with this, getting rid of what got you where you are and then discovering everything's now at sea. Maybe you'll fix the weak areas, but only at the expense of those areas that were fine. Imagine on the next engagement survey showing you've improved the weak questions and categories, but now have new areas to work on. You've fallen below the line, below the area where you're considered good, and now you got to work on something else. It's a never-ending game of whack-a-mole with a different flavor to it. One final thought on your response, generally, before we get into questions. Your team's responses will be theirs. Okay. The data on the document you get back about your team came from your team's responses. Typically, the manager's is not included. It may be that you won't know what caused them to score the experience the way they did. That's normal. Don't worry about it. Don't think that every manager reads it and goes, I know what that is. In some of the cases, you'll know what it is, and that's great. But in other cases, you won't, but that's okay. And you'll see why when we get into how to address the questions. As we've said before, you don't need to know all the answers. And that means you certainly don't need to know all the answers right now. Forgive yourself. It's okay. It's normal. In fact, Mike, over the years, we've been doing this nearly 20 years now. I think I should have done that as like the fourth or fifth cast. It's okay. You don't know. Nobody else does either. It's fine. Yeah. You're going to be great. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that would probably be good because a lot of, if not most managers I talk to, they believe that they're the only ones that don't get it. Like they feel afraid of getting found out, that they're just winging it, just like everybody else, other than Managed Tools listeners.
Exactly. So expect that some of your first briefing with your team will be to cover a question whose results concern you by asking for more input from your team. In fact, you're going to get sick of hearing me say over the next number of weeks, ask and capture, ask and capture. Whether you can do anything about what they're talking about or not, capture their responses and tell them you're going to take a deliverable of thinking about them and seeing what, if anything, you can do about it. In some cases, you may just need to forward that this is the input I got, to see whether or not it's in alignment with other teams or whether or not you're enough of an outlier that your boss is going to do something else to try to improve that particular question or that particular category. Our point here is, don't assume that all the question responses will immediately suggest corrective actions. They won't, and that's normal, and you're not omniscient. Okay, another down in the weeds recommendation that Manager Tools has become famous for over the years, which is why this podcast is 9,000 words and growing. When you're capturing, when we're going to get into this here in just a minute, be very careful of having someone type up the responses as your team says them. This slows things down. Have one of your team, or you, but better somebody else, write them on a whiteboard. Take a picture of the whiteboard when you're done with the question, and then wipe the board clean. Remember, when you're writing them on the whiteboard, to both number the questions and write some abbreviation of the question at the top of your notes. If you don't, collating everything is going to be hell. This method is called visual record keeping. We've recommended it many years here at Manager Tools. This makes each person's responses available to all to consider and perhaps piggyback upon. If someone is typing them up, even if they're showing the typing slows things down. People aren't as comfortable correcting typing, and it's way easier to just rub out something in whiteboard and just rewrite it. When you're capturing, when you do the ask and capture we're going to ask you to do here in a minute, think of it like a brainstorming session. You're not trying to solve anything. You don't need a plan yet. You don't need action steps. You're just capturing what's being said. Nobody gets to disagree with what somebody else says. It's not a question of which answer is best or whether someone can refute somebody else's opinion with their definition of data. There's always one Yahoo on a team who says, well, my data says, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Don't allow someone to disagree to the point of taking down someone else's comment. Holy Toledo. It's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to get to an answer. We're trying to surface ideas. And we're going to ask them, hey, what led you to answer the way you did, however you did? What were the things that influenced you on this particular question? All inputs are valid. And you don't have to capture comments verbatim. Abbreviations, simplifications, letters circled to mean, you know, if somebody talks about results, just put an R with a circle around it. It's fine. Now, in terms of this process, you can also use flip charts to do this so you don't have to erase, but you end up creating a lot of paper, particularly with 140 questions. And you don't want to have to take pictures of 50 sheets of paper all in once when everyone's gone. If you forget before they get flipped over and now you're going to be out there for an hour taking pictures. Further, don't send out the questions you need input on in the form of an email and ask everyone to respond individually. Holy freaking moly, no way. First of all, it becomes an administrative nightmare for you, and it completely changes this process and its outcomes. Whatever you do, folks, if you only hear one thing about this strategy and questions, let it be this. Do not forward all the questions and ask people to comment on them. What caused us to get a low score here? What caused us to get a low score there? It's easier. Sure it is. At least sending out the email. And like so many easier things, it's also worser. Your team will not have a shared experience. They won't learn from each other. You won't get to thank them the same way. And you'll end up chasing people's responses. And it'll just be another long email. If you get everybody in a room, it'll go much faster. Now, if you want to be bold and really get candor out of your group, consider asking one or two of your best performers to speak up a few times early with problems or pet peeves in the problem areas. That will set the tone that the messenger won't be shot, and the tone is professional candor. Now, if you have to review 30 or so questions, you may not have time to schedule a meeting. The simple solution is to put this meeting entirely in place of your weekly staff meeting. You can still review reporting that would normally come in your staff meeting separately offline, and you can cover whatever was the waterfall stuff that would be in your staff call in your one-on-ones individually. It'll take a few minutes in your one-on-ones, but it might be worth it. But you've already got an existing meeting. I hope you do. If you don't, please listen to our podcast, How Do You Run a Staff Meeting, a Weekly Staff Meeting. It's so easy to put this thing in place of your staff meetings for a couple of weeks. Now, keep in mind, you're going to capture all this stuff. Then you've got some work to do collating it and sifting it and thinking about it and hopefully talking to some of your buddies about what they heard. Maybe they have good ideas. Keep in mind, when you reconvene to discuss actions with your team, you don't have to change everything they don't like about you or your team. If you want a little bit of background and more depth that this stuff really excites you, you may want to listen to our podcast about how to get feedback from your team. It's a poorly named podcast because you don't actually get feedback, but you ask for input. And there's a process in there called start, stop, and continue that can be, it'll give you a sense of kind of what we're thinking about here. If one of your curmudgeonly directs voices her frustration with your one-on-ones, just say thanks. Okay. When you come back to the later meeting, let's say she says that in the capture meeting. When you come back to the later meeting, don't hesitate to show them everything you captured in low scoring areas. But at that time, you can say, hey, I appreciated the input here, but one-on-ones aren't going away. You don't have to fix everything for every complainer on your team, because they will always complain, and you will only have fixed things that the complainers don't like, which takes time. And the things you really want to fix are the things your best performers don't like. Okay, hopefully by now, you know that your North Star, your guiding light for this process, is the questions and not the categories. So now is the time for us to get into individual questions and our guidance on each of 140 of them, if you can believe it.
Yeah, but not today, because we said we had about 30 minutes and we're just over the 30 minute mark. So
okay,
we should stop here because, man, we got a long ways to go here.
We got a long way to go.
We'll stop here and we'll continue this next time, now that we got the intro essentially done, ready to get to the questions.
Yeah.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
Thanks, everyone. So long.